Hey Potters, welcome to episode 278 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy summer, everybody!
Yay!
Time to melt! As I've already started thinking of my next cosplay and going, do I want something with lots and lots of layers and really warm? By the time I'm done, it's probably going to be winter. Let's work on something heavy. Which in summer, I totally do not want to do.
It's all about them layers.
I know. But at least they'll be silk and satin layers, so they're at least light and fluffy.
In theory.
Not heavy wool. It's a matter of whether or not I work on Jedi Pira or Lolita.
Oh, okay.
I already have the fabric for Lolita, which is why I'm kind of inclined to work on it. I don't have all the fabric I need for Pira yet, because Jedi have really heavy robes, yo.
Well, it depends on how you make it. You can make it happen with really, really light materials. It just may not be movie accurate. I'm going to air quote that big time with lots of finger quotes.
Of course. It also flows a bit differently.
Yeah.
And Sakura, I would, except we actually hit a dew point yesterday of 80 degrees, which means it literally felt like a swamp and was so humid that you could see your breath. Resin probably would not have cured if I would have tried to cast it. It would have just stayed tacky.
It's been weird for us because it's been slightly cooler than normal, which is funny to say because you're like, it's Texas. Is it really cool? Not quite. But it's been a couple degrees lower than normal. But however, the humidity has just been up through the roof in a very disgusting and sticky way. So you wouldn't be able to do any of that kind of work without it remaining constantly tacky.
Right. So no resin, no spray paint, Mm-mm. no adhesives,
none of that
nothing
stuff.
That requires that. Like really specific temperature range of between like 75 degrees and maybe 85 degrees. Yeah, I can't do any of that right now.
Not with this humidity.
We start out during the day at 75 degrees in the morning. So it's already hot and extraordinarily humid, which is why I'm wearing a hat. Yay, bad hair day. This is what we do.
This is what we got in town to deal with. Eh.
Yep. But unless you have cosplay updates, we can actually go ahead and skip to our main topic.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go ahead and do that, and we're going to save the cosplay updates for next time because we have a really cool interview that we're going to share with you guys.
Indeed, and it's a little bit on the longer side, which is why we're cutting everything else short, but we think it's going to be well worth it because this was an amazingly fun interview, and we think you'll enjoy it. We have a special treat for you today. We've got a guest with us for an awesome interview. Please welcome Kat Chan, a master of multiple disciplines of cosplay. Welcome, Kat Chan.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Indeed. If you would, please introduce yourself to the audience members who may not know you yet.
Sure. So I go by Kat Chan Cosplay, or Kat Chans on most socials. I've been doing this a while, 19 years, I think. I just went to Akron last weekend, which is my cosplayversary, I guess you'd call it. So next year will be my 20th anniversary, which is kind of a lot to take in, but, you know, good. I still love making costumes, so I assume I'll keep going.
I was going to ask, how did you get into cosplay?
How did I get into cosplay? Yeah, so I was kind of like a anime fan on the down low in high school. I watched Pokemon and anything that aired on cable, but I didn't really have any friends that were super into it, and I didn't really get into it hardcore. And then I went away to college. And in the pursuit of making friends and, like, kind of getting to know people at school, I decided I would join the anime club. So I joined the anime club, and they would go to a local anime convention every year, BushiCon in Austin. I went to school in San Marcos, Texas. And I went to my first convention with the anime club, and I didn't know what cosplay was. I just went to attend, but some of the girls in the club were cosplaying. And so I show up this convention and they've got their costumes and I see these other attendees in costumes and I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. So I plan to go to AECON that summer. So UshiCon was in the winter. So I plan to go to AECON in the summer in Dallas. And I made, I think, 3 costumes for that. That was my first convention where I was cosplaying. Yeah. And then I just didn't stop.
I think AECON, especially for those of us in Texas, seemed to be like the epicenter when we all start our cosplaying history. It's like ground zero. This is where it happens.
It is one of the oldest conventions, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think it is the oldest consecutive running.
Consecutive running, at least. Yeah.
So when you first started out, Kat-Chan, making those 3 costumes, what sorts of resources were you able to rely on?
The internet. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing. I had some very basic sewing knowledge. I had taken a home ec course in like junior high school. I learned how to sew a pillow. And then I had done some like hobby sewing a little bit throughout the years, but I had never really made a garment. I just bought a pattern. I bought some fabric. I tried to research online, but I didn't know a lot. I remember the first like full outfit I made was this Lolita fashion inspired Pikachu. And I didn't know what interfacing was. It was all made out of broadcloth.
Yeah.
It was a beginner costume, but I really enjoyed making it. So I just kept researching from that point. And I'm completely self-taught. I don't have any formal education in any sort of fabrication. So it's really just, you know, doing research, talking with other cosplayers, learning from them. I've had fortune to have a lot of friends in the cosplay community who have taught me things throughout my tenure cosplaying. That's the right word.
Fel and I used to joke, in fact, we did an entire after session on it, that because YouTube wasn't really a thing as much when we first started out as cosplay, that all of us relied on cosplay.com tutorials.
Yes.
Yeah. Cosplay.com. And DeviantArt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also convention, like I would go to a lot of the cosplay panels at conventions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And get information that way. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so, you have been cosplaying for a while.
Yeah.
What obstacle are you most proud of overcoming when you first started out?
I guess just, you know, figuring out how to do all of it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really have anyone to teach me. I had to, you know, do my own research, figure it out. A lot of trial and error. But just looking back on where I started to where I am now, I have learned so much. And I've acquired all of these skills. It's just kind of awesome. to think about how far you can come just kind of on your own researching things and figuring things out. So, yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite style that you like to cosplay?
Yeah, so I definitely gravitate towards more feminine costumes. A lot of layers, ruffles, lace, eye details, sparkles.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of idol costumes, magical girls, but I do like to mix it up sometimes. You know, I've made armor, some traditional, they're not traditionally made, but like Japanese inspired, like garments. But I would say I definitely gravitate more towards this shiny, sparkly realm.
If you want to look at some great idol cosplay, you got to look up Kat-Chan stuff. It is always so cool to look at. And I am just always impressed at your craftsmanship on it and your detail work, because it is always so stinking clean. And I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be. It's so nice and crisp.
Thank you.
That was going to be my, my comment too. It's very, very clean.
Yeah, because I've made one costume and I don't ever want to make an idol costume ever again because it is so challenging.
It's a lot of detail and, like you said, a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. But it always ends up looking so good when it's done.
You make it look very effortless when it's not effortless.
It does not feel effortless when you're putting like yards and yards and yards of fabric through the serger, ruffling it. I think I made a Morocco costume back in December, and I think I calculated it at like 7 yards of ruffle. Like, that's after it was ruffled, not before.
Not beforehand. Multiply by like 4, and that might be more accurate.
Nope.
So what started your interest in Clamp and idol cosplay?
Clamp, I can probably track all the way back to, you know, high school when it aired on Kids WB in all its, what's the right word, localized glory. But I just really loved the design. I loved Sakura as a character, even in that kind of butchered version of her. She was still a really great character. So once I, you know, had exposure to that and I started to get more into anime, I picked up the manga. And then I got to see Clamp's original intent with her. But yeah, Sakura is near and dear to my heart. I know a lot of people my age, you know, Sailor Moon was their intro to magical girls, but for me, it's Sakura. She is the pinnacle of magical girldom to me. So that was one of the first costumes I made. I want to say that was like 5 or 6 on the list way back when, also at Akon. So that's kind of what started me on the magical girl thing. I also started idols early, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. I am an avid fan of Full Moon Osaka Shite. But when I watched it, I didn't know what idols really were or what idol anime really was. I just loved Tenimura's story. So I did cosplay Mitsuki very early on in my cosplay days, but I didn't really like get into it until the OG Idolmaster anime came out. So I watched that one, and then not far behind that, Love Live came out, and it kind of like, I feel like Love Live really pushed idol anime, like especially here in the West, because they had a lot of access to English. Like, they had a mobile game that was translated, so it was just easier to access the property. And I think that really helped push idols into the Western anime fans' zeitgeist. But yeah, Idolmaster is what got me into it, and then Love Live, and then any idol I can think of.
And then down the rabbit hole. Well, since you mentioned Lolita earlier, can you talk a little bit about your interest in J fashion and what sparked that?
Yeah, that can be credited to the girls in the anime club too. They were into Lolita fashion. And so that was kind of my intro into that. And then just a lot of like looking at Fashion Snaps, Live Journal was a really big community back in the day. That's basically the hub of Lolita in the West was on Live Journal. I don't know why that's what they picked, but you know. So there were a bunch of communities, you know, to post pictures, sales communities. And so I liked looking at the dresses. I didn't really purchase any brand. I am a tall person. So a lot of the stuff made for J fashion is just not gonna fit me properly.
Yeah.
But they are expanding now, like many, many years later, you know, with more interest in the West and things becoming more global, they are making clothes in larger size range. So that's really good.
Praise.
But because I was tall and a poor college student and couldn't spend hundreds of dollars importing dresses from Japan, I made my own. And I like to credit Lolita Fashion for a lot of construction decisions that I make now, even today when I'm making my costumes. One thing that I picked up that I really appreciated from Lolita Fashion is that they make things that can accommodate a size range. Mm-hmm. So they'll do like shearing on the back of bodices or skirts and things like that, which I hadn't really thought about incorporating into my costumes until I got into the fashion and learned how to do it with fashion. But now I'll try to put, you know, half elastic waist and things on my garments so that I have a little bit of there. Mm-hmm. So I can get more use out of them. You know, if you fluctuate, you have a larger range, you can wear them more. So.
Very cool.
Yep. To kind of shift topics just a little bit. Recently, you've started researching cosplay materials as they impact health and sustainability. In fact, since you mentioned the A-Con as all of our home cons, you actually recently did a panel on this. Can you talk a little bit about what you found and how that research can be applied to cosplay?
Yeah, so I did two panels. I did one on sustainability and cosplay and one on self-care and cosplay. So the sustainability panel was all about making more informed choices. I don't want to say better choices, just more informed choices. And we covered, you know, different materials, natural materials versus synthetic materials, and how to source materials in maybe a less impactful way. So, you know, thrifting, reusing, recycling, destroying old costumes you're going to wear anymore to make new costumes, using what you have. Yeah. Using what you have at your disposal before, like, accumulating new materials. So that was really interesting to research. The textile industry creates a lot of waste.
Yeah.
And cosplay creates a lot of waste, and we need to be more mindful about that and try to, you know, use everything we have before we go out and just buy more. That and the fast fashion thing, that's becoming more of a problem. You know, with more access to pre-made costumes, it's easier to acquire them, and then social media plays a part and making people think they have to, like, always have something new, and it's just a vicious cycle. So we covered, like, how to make better decisions, maybe sell old things so people can enjoy them secondhand, maybe, you know, just trade around with your friends, wear each other's costumes sometimes, try not to just constantly intake new stuff and then dispose of it. So that's what we covered there. And then the self-care panel was pretty much just don't make bad decisions that will impact your health. It was basically the theme of the whole panel. We did cover some, like, positives of crafting, and there is some research, not for cosplay specifically, but for crafting, you know, knitting, quilting, any other, like, woodworking, I think baking was included in some of them too. And those have positive benefits, both physically and mentally. But there are definitely external and internal pressures that come into play when you're working on cosplay that can make you think you need to do things a certain way. So we covered, like, not con crunching, you know, taking breaks, physical breaks, mental breaks. You know, it's okay to not finish something in a deadline you've set for yourself. Yeah, I mentioned before we started recording that I had a costume I was planning for A-Con, and then I just, a week and a half before the con, said, you know what, this isn't going to happen. I'll just finish it later. And then I had a lovely week and a half resting. not stressing out, and I had a great convention because I wasn't worried about finishing this costume. So that's mostly what we covered in that one. I really enjoyed that one. So hopefully I'll be able to do them again at other conventions. So
those are definitely two really good topics that we don't hear very often. So that would be nice if you do get the opportunity to keep teaching those. That would be great.
Yeah.
I know that we have at least one of your panels on our channel, possibly two or three of them. And I wish I could remember which one it was off the top of my head, but I know it's one of the more popular ones.
I do. It was fabric painting and dyeing.
That's it. That's it. Because we got a couple of those on there now. But we usually get a couple of comments every now and then through email saying that that's one of their favorites. They think that you're a really great teacher.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for reporting.
Yeah, if we happen to be at the convention when you're teaching your two newest panels, we'll have
we'll have to record those.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That way we can spread the good word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so now our fun grab bag questions. Are we at that point, Amber?
We are.
Yay. Okay. This is my favorite question. What is your favorite fabric to work with?
Okay. I would probably say it's cotton sateen.
Ooh, okay.
I like working with cotton. It's a nice, breathable material. It has a nice hand. But the sateen has a nice luster to it that you don't get out of most cotton. So I enjoy that one. It does require some nice pressing. Usually a lot of, you know, ironing before you wear it. But it's worth it. I've used it on many costumes. And particularly the bottom weight Joann's version. It has a little stretch. It's easily accessible. You know, most people have access to a Joann's. So it's just a nice, forgiving, easy to work with fabric.
Next, what is your favorite tool or technique to work with?
I really enjoy, applique. So I've done a lot of work with applique, and I think you could get some really cool effects with that. I also really enjoy fabric painting and stenciling. Mm-hmm. And my favorite hack tip is freezer paper stencils.
Yes.
Which I think we cover in the panel that you recorded.
Yes, yes.
But I love how easily accessible that is. Freezer paper you can get at a grocery store or Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Is cheap. And then you just need to draw out your stencil, cut it out, press it to the fabric, and you've got a stencil. So I just think it's like a really cheap, easy, accessible method to use. So I really like that one. I don't know if I have a favorite tool. I'm trying to think. I mean, I love my sewing machine. I don't know if that's obvious, but
nothing wrong with that.
I mean, if you have a good sewing machine, you have a good sewing machine.
Exactly. All right. So no budget, no time constraints. What's your dream cosplay?
It changes regularly, I would say. Right now, I want to work on a Love Live costume. Mia Taylor is the character. It's one of the cards from the game. It's just very ornate and detailed and ridiculous.
Perfect.
Yes. So that's kind of like the top one right now. And I am planning on actually making her. I don't know when she'll happen, but I say that. We'll see if it, you know, comes to fruition. Yeah. So, you know, it's always, there's always stuff coming out, you know, I'll watch something new and I'm like, now it's this, now it's this. Yeah, so.
It's cosplay. The list always changes.
Of course.
I've stopped, like, keeping track of it. Like, I have a list of, like, I would like to make these, but, like, I don't know what's happening.
It's on there.
Morocco was one of my big, like, I really want it to happen, and I made her last fall, I guess. I wore her in December for the first time. And I really wanted to make that one for many years. Mm-hmm. She came out in like 2019 and then, you know, so She got put on hold for a little bit, but I was really pumped to get her made and here in the world. So that was really good.
Cool.
Well, for those who may be early on in their cosplay careers or maybe just first getting into cosplay, what's one piece of advice you would give to them?
Definitely don't pull an all-nighter.
Yeah.
I've done it once. It was a terrible decision. I would say, you know, there's been a few costumes, a handful of costumes where I pushed myself too far. And then I had a really miserable time at the event because I was just so tired and drained. And I have given up on costumes before. And I've never regretted that choice. So, you know, there's another event down the road. Don't sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time. Go at your own pace. Because once you've finished and you're ready to wear your costume, the people that are excited to see that costume, they're still going to be excited. Even if it takes you an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 months, a year, you'll find someone who's really pumped to see you. So don't sweat it. Take your time. Get your sleep. Feed yourself.
Yes. Take the shower.
That is fantastic advice. And I kind of wish that you had been around to give it to me when I first started.
I wish I used a few reminders. When I, you know, made my terrible decisions. I don't know. I've been doing this many, many years, and I didn't have anybody to tell me that was stupid. So if you're new and you're out there, I'm here to tell you that's stupid. Go to bed. I promise you will thank me when you feel awesome at the convention instead of like a zombie.
Exactly. There's nothing worse than being at the con and just feeling like crud the entire time. You don't enjoy it.
There are pictures of me in the cursed Umi costume from Magic Knights Rare.
Oh, yes.
After we got off the stage and we got some pictures, and I look just like so done, like with existing, this is not good. They're not good photos. We're so tired, so drained. Yeah. So just give yourself the extra time and you'll feel so much better when you wear the costume. Because wearing costumes takes energy too.
Exactly.
It's not just making them. Then you have to put them on your body and wear them for hours. So
even the most simplest of costumes can still just take your energy out of you. And if you don't have that energy, it's just, you're done.
Yes. That's why almost every costume I've made post-pandemic has involved tennis shoes.
Smart. That's the thing.
Plus, when you're exhausted, you're more likely to get con crud, which really mm-hmm. makes your convention a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's everything that we have for today's interview. Again, thank you so much for being with us today, Kachin. If people would like to follow your work, where can they find you?
So I have a blog that's KiraKiraCat.com, and that's where I post like full write-ups and photos of my work and then some other like just random stuff I'm into. If you like social media, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at KatChans with an S, CatChans. And I am on TikTok. I'm not very good at TikTok. I'm kind of old for TikTok. But that is at Kachin Cosplay. So you can find me trying to make videos. But yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. This is great.
Yes, thank you for your interviewing me. I had a lot of fun.
We hope you enjoyed it. We are trying our best to try and bring in some new interviews for you all so that you all can see just the wide breadth of different cosplayers that are in the community. And so we will be working on that as we go through the rest of this season and into next season. And thank you very much again, Kachin, for being with us on the show. Do we have anything else we need to do for this episode? No announcements?
Nope. No, nothing new for us. Just the same old stuff and things.
Well, of course, if you would like to let us know what you're working on, please keep it family friendly. You're welcome to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching, you know the information is always located underneath Amber, easy peasy. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, and on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Every time, guaranteed.
Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays even though it is burningly hot in the middle of summer, so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a logo convention ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 279. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye, everyone.